Portland, Oregon's Collegiate Baseball League was born out of the pandemic last summer, and it's set to return for a second season. And this year, there's a new team, the Portland Rosebuds. The 2021 Rosebuds are inspired by a team of the same name that played in 1946. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Donald Orr reports on Portland's first and only all-black Negro League baseball team.
If you ever find yourself at Northwest 25th and Vaughn Street in Portland, you might think the area is pretty unassuming. This intersection is close to the industrial area of town and only a block from a residential neighborhood. But at this same spot 75 years ago, Portland's baseball team stepped up to home plate at Vaughn Street Park, a 12,000-seat wooden baseball stadium. Demolished in 1956, what's left of the park today is a commemorative plaque.
The plaque is just kind of standing on its own on the street corner here of 25th and Vaughn.
The plaque name drops a couple of teams from Portland's history in baseball, the Portland Webfooters, the Beavers, but it doesn't mention another team that briefly called Vaughn Street home, the 1946 Portland Rosebuds, the city's only Negro League baseball team. This summer, a new team will revitalize the name in honor of the original one. But getting info about the 46 Rosebuds has been difficult.
It was almost like it was erased from history, like it was just gone.
Alan Miller is co-owner of the Portland Pickles and marshal for Portland's Wild Wild West League, a summer collegiate baseball league which began last year.
People weren't, at that time, weren't willing to talk about them. They weren't willing to cover them. They weren't willing to support them. And that made it even harder.
From the few short news articles that can be found about the Portland Rosebuds, we know that many called them by their nickname, the Portland Roses. They were part of the West Coast Negro Baseball Association, a minor league that included the Seattle Steelheads and the Oakland Larks. And crucially, they played during a time when organized baseball was unofficially segregated. Raymond Doswell is vice president and curator of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City, Missouri.
Ultimately, in the end, there was never a written rule that would keep black players out. Just really collusion and racial attitudes and mores at the time that didn't welcome them.
Doswell says many Negro League teams didn't have the financial stability or support that white teams had. Plus, racist policies at the time made traveling for any black American difficult. Players sometimes had to sleep in their buses and bring their food with them because white-only hotels and restaurants wouldn't accept them.
We can lament the fact that blacks didn't get certain opportunities in baseball and other parts of society, but they chose to do it anyway because they loved it. So it isn't always what is being done to them. It's what they do to overcome this push at oppression and segregation.
Even though the history is lost in some cases, Negro Leagues were important opportunities for black athletes, even outside of baseball. Take, for example, Olympic track star Jesse Owens.
The black baseball teams really helped Jesse Owens after the Olympics, his 36 Olympics. He was stripped of his amateur status and could no longer compete. The reasons were basically racism, that he was barred from further competition, considering how successful he and his teammates were in Berlin.
The Rosebuds' main claim to fame was that Owens owned the team and ran the West Coast League with Harlem Globetrotters owner Abe Saperstein. Owens would publicize the games by sprinting against racehorses around the baseball field. But even with Owens' star power, it ultimately wasn't enough to keep the league sustainable. In 1946, the Rosebuds were supposed to play a full season of 110 games, but the West Coast League folded in just 2 months. Several different factors worked to kill the league. Negro League teams had to compete for time in stadiums, primarily run by white teams. The money, it wasn't consistent. And the West Coast Negro League began right as Jackie Robinson was breaking baseball's color line and integrating into the majors.
One of the issues for the Negro Leagues ongoing is the attention that's going to suddenly turn to being paid to Robinson and others coming into the majors.
That's Leslie Heafy, vice president of the Society for American Baseball Research and associate professor of history at Kent State University.
You're also talking about West Coast baseball, and West Coast baseball isn't major league at this stage yet, right? And so the attention being paid to baseball in general is not as much.
And then there's the inherent charm of playing baseball in the Pacific Northwest, where the games often got rained out. Today, the world knows about Owens and some of the best players to come out of the Negro Leagues. But most of the athletes who played in black leagues will never get the credit they deserve, says Raymond Doswell.
There won't ever be a full statistical record of the Negro Leagues. That's been lost to history. Statistics are a part of the story, but they're only a small part of the story. There are lots of other stories we can tell. I think it's more important for us to tell more of the human story and the Black history story.
The new Rosebuds won't be exclusively Black, but telling that history is part of what the league is trying to do this summer. Portland Pickles co-owner Alan Miller hopes that the new team serves as an opportunity to educate the community.
I think part of having a baseball team in Portland, there is a certain amount of responsibility that we have to understand the past. And if we can show people that, hey, this happened, this is a really important part of Portland's history, that's the first step.
Oh. The 2021 Rosebuds opened their inaugural season in June, rocking jerseys with a new Rosebuds logo. They hope to shine a light on an often overlooked but important chapter of Portland's storied history with baseball. For Here and Now, I'm Donald Orr.